Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Monday, March 8th, and the Democracy Campaign released a report today that shows Wisconsin contributors gave a record $1.5 million in 2009 to special interest groups that smear candidates in state and federal elections with negative advertising, mailings, and other outside electioneering activities. Last year's contributions to 527 groups beat the previous non-election year record in 2007 by more than $400,000 and more than doubled the amount these special interests got from the Badger State in 2005 and in 2003. 527 groups are named for the section of the U.S. Internal Revenue Service Code that governs them, but the IRS does not regulate where they get their contributions and how much they can accept and spend. These groups are set up by unions, businesses, trade associations, and ideological interests. They include the more popularly known Club for Growth, Democratic Governors Association, GOPAC, and Progressive Majority. Most of the contributions made to these groups would be illegal to give directly to candidates under state and federal laws because they come from corporate and union treasuries and are often much more than a donor is allowed to legally give and a candidate is allowed to accept from a contributor. Now, with all that in mind, here with us to talk about the report is the Democracy Campaign's Executive Director, Mike McCabe. Mike, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when these groups really hit their stride, people defended them as a way for the little guy to make a difference in elections. Is that the case with these groups?
No, that's laughable, as a matter of fact. There aren't any little guys given to these outfits, and in fact, what you've got is just a tiny group of extraordinarily wealthy individuals and wealthy interests that bankroll these so-called 527s.
Well, I think what part of that report said too was there were about 450 donors from Wisconsin last year, and the top two gave more than half the money.
Yeah, and even if you think about 450 donors, this is a state of 5 million people. So a tiny fraction of the population is participating in this way. And then when you look at the, you know, 400 and some people who give, you look at the people at the very top of the list, and they're giving almost all the money.
Mm-hmm. This big bump in contributions, it's 400 grand more than the previous record. It's a 37% jump over the previous record. And in a non-election year, no less, what's that indicate to you, if anything?
Well, one of the things it shows is that the political economy is recession-proof. And I think it also really highlights why the political economy is recession-proof. You know, I think a lot of people assume that when there's a deep recession, and we're going through the deepest recession since the Great Depression, people assume that folks just wouldn't have the extra income available to make campaign donations. But the reality is that a tiny sliver of the population bankrolls political campaigning. If you look at all the donors in our contributor database, all the people who give to state campaigns, they amount to 1% of the state population. When you look at the 527 groups, you're looking at an even more elite core of donors who are bankrolling, you know, primarily front groups that are out there doing some of the nastiest campaign advertising around. Those people are a tiny, tiny fraction of 1%. It's, you know, we're talking a handful of donors. Well, these are the kinds of people who aren't exactly affected by the recession. They're extraordinarily wealthy individuals. They run huge companies. They have huge inheritances. They've got money to burn. And so they're not affected by what's happened to the economy. They haven't been thrown out of work. They probably don't have to work. And so they don't get affected. And that's why the political economy shows no reaction to the recession. The giving just keeps going up and up and up. The spending keeps going up and up and up.
Okay. These 2009 contributions came before a highly controversial U.S. Supreme Court decision in late January called Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission. Because of that decision, unions and big business may now spend unlimited amounts of cash in state and federal elections. Does this enhance or diminish the influence or the effectiveness of 527 groups?
I think it's too early to say. We'll have to see what happens and how the money flows. But I think one thing is safe to say. Corporations are not going to be out there sponsoring their own political advertising. They're free to do that now. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that corporations can spend unlimited sums of money to influence elections. They still are limited in what they can contribute directly to candidates, but they can go out there and run their own campaigns, and there's no limit on what they can put in there. But you're not going to see Walmart or Microsoft or Goldman Sachs out there sponsoring their own political activity. They're actually putting their name on a campaign ad. You know, they'd be afraid of alienating customers if they did that. So they're still going to be looking for trade associations or other front groups to funnel their money to. And I don't know yet whether it's going to be the 527s, if that's going to be the receptacle for that kind of money, or whether they'll find some other way. But you're not going to see corporations actually sponsoring ads. They're still going to be looking for outfits like this to dump their money in. And, you know, whether it's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or whether it's some front group with a patriotic sounding name, they'll find some way to effectively launder that money to sort of remove the true origins of it, and you know, that's what these groups do a pretty good job of.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that federal or state policymakers can do to curb the interference 527s create in elections? Particularly what people recognize most and hate most about them, the negative commercials and other mudslinging they sponsor.
Unless we get a different Supreme Court that takes a very different view of election financing issues, there's nothing that can be done to stop trashy advertising. You know, it's regarded as protected free speech, and there's absolutely nothing that can be done to say you can't run that kind of an ad. But there's an awful lot that you can do outside of that. You can beef up disclosure laws at both the state and federal level so people really know the true origins of the money behind these advertisements, so that the sponsors have to stand by their ads and they're held accountable for the kinds of messages they deliver. And if they get down there in the gutter and they take the low road on advertising and they engage in mudslinging, they do run the risk of alienating their customers, alienating people in the communities where they do business. So certainly there's a lot that could be done to beef up disclosure and reveal the true sponsors of the advertising. Then there, you know, you could pass laws both at the state and federal level that require corporations to get consent from their shareholders to engage in political spending. The way the Supreme Court has ruled, corporations are treated as people and they can engage in campaign advertising, but they don't even have to inform the people who invest in their companies, in these companies. They don't have to, certainly don't have to get consent to do this political spending. That could be changed. And then finally, at least we could give the candidates some ability to run clean and not be so hopelessly beholden to special interest money and create publicly financed elections and at least free the candidates from the situation that we have now, where you might as well put them in NASCAR suits, you know, like the race car drivers wearing. You've got the patches showing all the corporate sponsors plastered all over them, and that's essentially the position that candidates are in today, and something clearly could be done about that.
Okay. Well, thanks for your insights, Mike. For more information about these 527 groups and the Wisconsin contributors who gave them money, please check out the Democracy Campaign's March 8th report on its website. Thanks for listening.